man. See, there's one when you've run out of somebody to say, you get a catch-all. The boogeyman. Okay? Folks, to me, what I'm talking about right now is the most important thing that goes on here all week. If you don't understand this, life's just going to go on the same. Now listen to me. If God's going to get you on this hand, and the devil's going to get you on this hand, and the priest is going to get you on this hand, and the nun's going to get you on this hand, and your mama's going to get you on this hand, and your daddy's going to get you on this hand, and I could go on and on. Who's got to look out for you? That's apathy. That's it right there. And I'll say to you, do anything, everything in your power to remove making people afraid of you. Begin to let people know how they don't have to fear you. I would never harm you. Anything that you fear, you hate. You cannot love something you fear. Now, it's a hard thing, folks, to sit here and say, I probably hated my father. Isn't it? Because no matter what your father did to you, what do you call it? Love. No matter what he did, if he sexually abused you, it's your fault, he loves you. Y'all know that? If he beat you half to death, here's what you want to say. That is love. Because who else is there on this earth to teach you what love is but a mom and a daddy? And if what they're teaching you is love is hatred, you're still going to call it love. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Can you get drunk on the word wine? No. Can somebody love you with the word love? No. You cannot love anything that you're afraid of. Now, folks, some of you are sitting there saying, well, you're supposed to fear God. Not knee-knocking fear, God's going to get you. If God's going to get you, it's all over. Joe, you couldn't get away, could you? And you sure couldn't get good enough that he wouldn't have something to get you for, could you?
I don't know, I doubt it.
I don't know either, I doubt it. But you understand what I'm talking about? Fear destroys understanding. Absolutely destroys it. And understanding will destroy, say it,
fear.
Glory to God, isn't that good? Love destroys fear. You can't love yourself until you understand yourself. You live your life afraid of you. Only hatred can flourish in an atmosphere of fear. Is there any fear in America? Folks, I drove here from Sandestin this morning. There's no telling how many laws I broke. There are so many laws, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing I know I did. I forgot to put my seatbelt on. Some of you that don't think you're afraid of anything, I'll ask you, why do you pay your property taxes? Is it because you're in love with the officials or are you afraid they'll take your house? Why do you drive the speed limit? Is it because you're a lover or because you're afraid you'll get fined? I'm telling you, I believe I'm talking about what Jesus was talking about. And we don't talk about it. No, but we'll go to church. And folks, I'm not picking on going to church. I'm just telling you that church is not the end. It's a means in helping us achieve what I'm talking about. The church should be the one place that we could go that there's nothing to be afraid of. And bless God, you got to be afraid there, don't you? Anybody in here afraid of the church?
No.
I wonder, well, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. Folks, you've got to totally eliminate fear. And listen to me. You eliminate whatever in you makes others afraid of you. That's what I want you to eliminate. Do you know how you're afraid you won't look just right? You know how you're afraid of what others will think of you? You know how you're afraid of being found out? Hello? Whoa. Begin to teach the people around you to understand, not to be afraid. It takes a lot of time to do that. To teach your children to understand takes a lot of time. It is easy to teach them to be afraid. Just smack them around a little bit. Do you know that it's easier to live with kids that are afraid of you than kids that love you? Anybody here understand what I'm talking about? When a kid's afraid of you, they just don't give you any friction. They're down the road. They're back in the bedroom. They're playing Nintendo. They're watching TV. The kids that love you, you're out there in the kitchen cooking cookies, and you turn around, you're stepping on them. Oh, God, there's the kids again. Because they're not afraid of you. Is there anybody in here, I don't want an answer, that when Daddy came in the front door, you went out the back? Because you're afraid of him. Well, let me tell you something. You can't love somebody you're afraid of. You ever wondered why, when we can go across the water and blow people up, and it don't bother anybody, we come home and abort babies? I guess we hate them, but we love here? No, we don't. We hate them, and what do we at home? We hate at home. We hate the baby. We hate our wife. We hate our husband. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, if you understand what hatred is, I'll tell you, I lived 15 years with my wife, and I hated her. I mean, the woman, all she wanted to do was spend too much money. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I was afraid of her. Afraid of what she'd think of me. You know, married to a liar. Never forget the first day I told her, you know, you just married an old liar. She says, oh, thank God. Because I'm one too. And I'll tell you something, folks. It's in the last 5 or 6 years that I've discovered a household with no fear in it. My wife not afraid of me. Me not afraid of my wife. My kids not afraid of me. And I don't have any children pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, I could have, but I don't have. I don't know why. I've got kids, when they tell me they're going someplace, they always go there. And when they tell me they'll be home at 11, they're always home at 11. That's the damnedest thing I've ever heard. But I had children, my oldest, that I raised afraid of me when they told me they was going to be home at 11. You know when they got home? When they got good and damn ready. Isn't that something? You want me to tell you something else? As long as I was afraid of God, I did just well what I wanted to do. And I didn't tell anybody because there's something in me that thought that if I didn't tell them, God didn't know it. You understand? And the day that it sunk into my heart that God loved me just the way I was and there wasn't nothing I could do could separate me from His love, well, glory to God. I could relax and didn't have to do all the things I was doing before. Isn't that something? Real paradox, isn't it? And we think we're going to beat people, we're going to discipline people into being good. And I'm telling you, the only discipline that counts is self-discipline. I'm going to say this because it's something that's going on here. There's somebody in here that's got to go home Friday, and they're going to have a meeting with some folks that are supposed to get married. And the people cheated. They didn't go through the proper process to get married, so Friday's going to go and tell them Saturday he's not going to marry it. Because the rules say, if you didn't do this and this, we can't marry you. Now, I don't want to open up any can of worms, but I want to ask you something. The only person I know that could do that is one that perfectly keeps the rules. Right? If you're going to make somebody else perfectly keep the rules, then you better perfectly keep them, right? You know anybody then could make somebody else keep the rules? Do you know anybody, sister, do you know anybody that perfectly keeps the rules? So I wonder how you can get mad at somebody else that don't keep the rules. That's unjust and it destroys the soul. It's destroyed, folks, it has destroyed the heart of our church. We tell others they got to be something that we aren't. Do you know what? I can quote a few things that everybody in here will know you're not Catholic. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? If it's a rule, it makes you Catholic. I wonder if you could be a Catholic and be intrinsically evil. Huh? Well, that's the only way we'll make it. Church says that anybody that masturbates is intrinsically evil. And anybody that's practiced birth control is intrinsically evil. Now, the only person I know could make up a rule like that is somebody that's never broke a rule. Well, y'all forgive me for that, but I'm going to tell you what, it's killing us. It is killing us. Rules are killing us. You know, that's exactly the way the Pharisees were. We got 613 rules, and by God, you better keep them. And it's the people that Jesus had the most scathing remarks about. If you have kept all the rules, then require others to keep the rules. But if you've broken one of the suckers, lay off everybody else. Isn't that Jesus? Goodness that depends on fear is simply cowardice. Y'all let that register with you a little bit. Anything that you do that's good because you're afraid is simply a coward. Folks, we've created a lot of cowards, haven't we? A lot of cowards. Goodness that depends on the hope of a reward, of praise, of heaven, depends on bribery. You imagine God's into bribery? He's going to bribe me into being good. Folks, that's sick. It's sick. I'm going to give you the solution to all of this problem, to fear and apathy. I'll give you Jesus' solution to the problem. It's love. It's to love as God loves. And I'm going to give you a phrase that to me today in my life, this is the best way I can determine when I'm loving. Now, it may be flawed, but for about 2 years it's something that's really been going on in my life. And I think it defines the very love that Jesus revealed that God has for us. Any act that is done for the hope of a reward is never agape. Any act that's done for the hope of a reward is never love. The value must lie in the act. In other words, you could give somebody a glass of water and it have no value. You could sell everything that you had and feed the poor and it have no value, because you may be expecting a response from them. Love never expects a response. Never. I'll be good to you if you'll be good to me. No love. That's what we call love in our household, isn't it, though? That's why we get divorces all the time. I'll be good to you as long as you're fulfilling a desire in me. If you're a good cook and a good this and a good that, and you're fulfilling something in me. What if God loved us like that, as long as we were fulfilling something in Him? Love just loves. Love, God does not need mine and your love. Y'all hear that? He don't need it. God loves. That's why I exist. Because He loves, I exist. You know you don't need somebody to love you? You know that, Lou? You do not need a husband to love you. What you need to do is to love. That'll heal your soul. It'll drive out all fear. And see, we're all looking for somebody to love us. Oh, and it'd be wonderful if we all loved each other. I'm telling you, you do not need someone else. All you need is to love. Y'all heard that saying, me and Christ are an overwhelming majority. If you were loving, who's with you? God's with you. Jesus is with you. How about me and love is an overwhelming majority? I hope that's not a heretical statement. Folks, spend a lot of time thinking about this. This is our problem. We're afraid. We're afraid of everything. And fear drives out love. And God didn't make us to be afraid. Sure do love you. Go to the next class.